All right, Jabosai, good morning. A lot to do today. So today's daf is Pei Gimel. And we are going to pick up Emirtz Hashem on Pei Gimel. It's always nice. On Pei Gimel. So we'll say Tashma. We're picking up two, four, five lines down from the top. Tashma. Achol Shnei Gidin Mishtei Yerechos Mishtei Beim. So also remember again, still dealing with the discussion ultimately from the Mishnah about the Machlokus Sumchus and the Chachamim, about can one be liable for, or I should say, can one act generate multiple levels of simultaneous liability? So Tashma, if I eat two Gid Hanoshes, right, from two legs of animals, from two different animals, or I eat two Gid Hanoshes from two animals, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Sofik shmonim. Ultimately, again, I get 80 malkus. Now we'll say, now I want to point out over here, you're eating two gid hanoshes, right, from two animals. So I'm going to get 80 malkus. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah says, eno sofik ela men. Rabbi Yudah on the other hand says, no, you only get 40 malkus. So hey chidami, what's the case? Eiling ma bezeach ha-zeh u'b'shtei ha-saras. See if you want to say that ultimately, again, we're talking about we're consuming them one after the other. And there are two distinct hasra. So we'll say again, I eat gid hanosha number one, I get hasra for that. Gid hanosha number two, get hasra for that. So my time, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Arbaim. So we'll say, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that I only get 40? Of course I should get 80. Elo, rather, what's the case? Elo pshita babas achos ubechad hasra. Rather, it must be that I'm eating the two gid hanoshas with what? One hasra. One warning, two gid hanoshas. So man tanakama. So we'll say, so therefore, who is the opinion who says that I get 80? Who is the tanakama? Ilei b'rabbanan depligele de sumchus. If you want to say it's the rabbis in the Mishnah who argue on sumchus. Uma hasam de gufin muchlokin pachi rabbanan hachalo kol shekein. Then I will say all the more so if the rabbis argue on sumchus in the case of gufin muchlokin. Remember again, I will say that's how we refer to the case of the Mishnah of gufin muchlokin, where ultimately again remember that middle animal that you shecht is triggering the Isra with two other animals. Gufin Mukhlokin, Rabbi Osei, it's a lot easier to say that you should have simultaneous liability for Gufin Mukhlokin. If the rabbis, even in a case of Gufin Mukhlokin, are telling you that you're only going to be Chayiv once, then all the more so of you, Rabbi Osei, where what? You have one person eating two Gid Hanoshes with one Hasra, you should certainly only be Chayiv once. El Alav Sumchasi. Rabbi, you have to say that it's Rabbi Osei, that it's Sumchus. It's Sumchus who says that you could go ahead and be chayiv, double liability, for multiple acts that are committed behe'elam achos, that are committed in one lapse. So it's the same Sumchus Rabbosai who says that when you shecht that sandwich generation animal, you are chayiv for two prohibitions of Osovi Espino, one for its mother, the second for its daughter. The same Sumchus who said that if you eat two kizesim of chayiv, in one lapse of awareness, you will be chayiv. That's the same Sumchus over here who says that if you eat two gid hanoshes with one hasra, you will be chayiv 80 malkus. The Gemara says, "Vidika amrit my time with Rabbi Yehuda." And if you want to say, so what's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? Ultimately, again, that you only get 40 malkus. I'll tell you why. The less bekezayis, because I will say Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion. There's an interesting case where you're eating two gid hanoshes, but what? They don't equal a kizayis. And Rabbi Yehuda has an interesting opinion where he says, "Detanya, desanya, achlo ve'in bo kizayis. If you eat the gid hanosha and there's not a kizayis of meat or of sinew, right? Chayif. Ultimately, the Tanakhama says, Rabbi Yehuda, omer at shiba kizayis. We'll say, we're actually going to see this machlokes later on about gid hanosha. So we'll say, we're going to see, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that for gid hanosha, in order to be chayif, it has to have a kizayis. The Rabbanan are going to say even less than a kizayis will be chayiv. Why? It's going to introduce us to a very fascinating concept called beria. Beria, Rabbosai says, that if something is a self-contained unit, even if it does not have a kizayis, you will be chayiv. The classic example of beria, if you remember from our Makos days, is a bug. Excellent. Namala. An ant. That was excellent. That was like mamish like a year ago. All right, so give him another. You get another cup of coffee, by the way, another cup with a lid, so you can take it with you. So understand over here. So that's a fundamental machlokes by gid hanasha. So therefore, Rabbi Huda, who will say that you only get one set of Malkus, so we're talking about a case where the Git HaNosha is less than a Kizayis. Good. So we'll say, so the sugya ends here, and we end off again with this fundamental machlokes in Sumchos and the Rabbanon about the ability to be chayiv multiple prohibitions for one act committed in one lapse. Sumchos clearly says you could be chayiv multiple times, whereas the Rabbanon say you are not. Fundamental machlokes, we'll say, that spans throughout Shas. Says the Mishnah, said this is an incredible sugya. Barba prakim, this is really great. Barba prakim, if you have a friend who's not here, you might want to text them, especially if they're not early, because this is a shame to miss this kind of gemara. So barba prakim b'shana hamocher behemol lachaberu zorach lodia. Bosa, listen to this. There are four times throughout the year where if you sell an animal to someone, you have to tell them zorach lodia ima macharti lishchot. Bita macharti l'shchot. Now, listen, there are four times throughout the year where if you sold an animal, if you sold the mother or you sold the daughter a meat, right, that same day, you have to tell the purchaser that you sold the mother or the daughter. What is this saying? There are four times throughout the year where halacha l'maisa, see what I said, let's take a step back. Normally, when you sell an animal to someone, lav dafka, that a person immediately shechts that animal. There are four times throughout the year where if you sell someone an animal, you must assume that they are going to shecht it immediately. Which means that if you just sold the mother or the daughter, you must indicate ultimately again to the current purchaser that you just sold the mother or the daughter. So to simply illustrate this, I just sold the mother to Reuven. Okay, fine. Shimon comes along, Shimon buys the daughter. Four times throughout the year, I must tell Shimon, Shimon, by the way, I just sold the mother today also. Which would then tell Shimon that what? Don't shecht your animal today. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow. So the Gemara says, what are the four times? So we'll say, in other words, so this is another way of saying that four times throughout the year, we assume that people go ahead and immediately shecht the animal they purchased. What are these four times? Ve'eluhein, Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag. So we'll say, so number one, Erev Shmini Atzeres. So we'll say because Shmini Atzeres ultimately again is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo. So again, people would go ahead and have a beautiful Suda. So because of that, again, you have to assume people shecht the meat that they purchased. Erev Yom Tov Shachron Shachag, Erev Yom Tov Arishon Shal Pesach. So we'll say Erev Pesach, Erev Atzeres, ultimately again Erev Shavuos, the Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Af Erev Yom HaKippurim beGalil. In the Galil, apparently again they used to have big seudas on Erev Yom Kippur as well. So we'll say, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ei Masai, when is this true? Bizman She'ein Lo Revach. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. She'ein Lo Revach, Hefzich Bein Sayim She'machar Ha'im Hayom. So we'll say, when is this halacha true? When again, you just sold the mother that day. It's Monday. I just sold Reuven the mother. Now Shimon's buying the daughter. It's one of these four yearly intervals. I have to tell Shimon, by the way, I just sold the mother. I just sold the daughter today. So you really can't shecht your animal today. So the Gemara says, however, aval yesh lo revach, ein zarech lo dio. But I will say, for example, if I sold Reuven the mother on a Sunday, and I sell Shimon the daughter on Tuesday, I have no obligation of disclosure. So we'll say this disclosure obligation is only when the sales are taking place on the same day, dafka at these intervals. So we'll say you have to understand, this is very important because we'll say if I am in the animal business, the livestock business, this places an incredible onus on me. Right? So we'll say because now I have to remember which animals I sold when. So therefore, again, the Mishnah Dafka says, this onus is only upon the seller at four times throughout the year, and only Dafka when the animals are being sold on the same day. But let's say, again, Reuven purchases the mother on Sunday, Shimon comes along on Monday, I don't have to be choshesh that either, that they're going to run into an Osobi Espino situation. Umod Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Bro says, this is actually amazing. Umod Rabbi Yehuda agrees, B'mocher esha'im lochasin, v'asabas lekala, she'tarach lehodio, b'yadua she'shneim shochtim yom echad. I will say, watch this. But if a couple is getting married, and what happens? The chasin bought the mother, the kala, right, the kala bought the daughter, then in that case, right, the chassan came and bought the mother animal, the kala or her family went ahead and bought the daughter animal, then the salesperson, right, the owner, does have to go ahead and tell them why, Rav Osai, because it's clear that's what? They both bought it for the wedding, and if they both bought it for the wedding, there is a concern that they're going to run into an osovi espinosa. Although under normal circumstances, the disclosure obligation is only when the sales are taking place on the same day. The exception to that rule is if it's clear that the parties are both buying it for the same purpose. For example, like this chasana, then ein achinami, you would have to disclose even if they buy it on separate days. So the Gemara goes weiter. Barba prakim elu, mashchitin es hatavach la'akach, was another fascinating halacha. At these four intervals, where clearly again people need meat, we force the butcher to sell, or excuse me, to shecht, even if he only has minimal orders. So now what does this mean? If I'm a butcher and I have an animal, so in general, when am I shechting that animal? When I have orders for the entire cow. In other words, we'll say, it's not like today with refrigeration that you shecht, cut it up, refrigerate, and sell. If I'm a butcher, I'm shechting when I know that I have orders placed for every single part of that animal. Otherwise, I run the risk of spoilage, which then results in loss. So the Mishnah says as follows, that during these four intervals when people need meat, we force the butcher to shecht, even if he only has partial orders for the animal. Right? We essentially force him to take a loss, potential loss, for the benefit of the community. Even if he has a shor that's worth 1,000 dinar, and he only has orders of meat for 1 dinar, which I will say obviously is hyperbolic case, which understand the point. We force him to shech the animal to be able to give that one person his dinar of meat. Therefore, in mace, what happens if the animal dies before the shochet, before the butcher has the opportunity to shecht it? The person who placed his order and paid his money of the dinar lost his money. The idea is, because he already owns his portion of meat, the haraya, we force the shochet to shecht on his behalf. If the animal dies before delivery of meat, the purchaser bears the loss. Aval b'shari mos hashana, eino kein. But I will say, the other days of the year, it's not like this. In other words, I will say, even if I place an order, I am not considered to be the owner of that piece of meat until when? Until I actually take delivery of it. Lefichach in mace, therefore, if the animal dies, mace the mocher. Ultimately, again, it is the seller who must bear the loss. So we'll say, so again, great cases. Says the Gemara Tana, im lo hodio, holech v'shochet, ve'eino nimna. So we'll say, this is actually the Mishnah gives an important qualification, which is, that halacha l'maisa, if you buy meat at the butcher, and the butcher doesn't tell you anything about the mother or the daughter of this animal, essentially, don't ask, don't tell policy. There's no halacha that I have to investigate this. If I'm not given information by the butcher, I assume that the meat is free and clear, and there are no restrictions on my use of the animal. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Emosai. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda says all of this obligation, ultimately, of disclosure is only when the animals are being sold on the same day. So then remember again, the Mishnah brought up with one exception. What's the one exception? If I, let's say, I'm the butcher. I sold the mother animal to the chassan, the daughter to the kala. Then what, Rabbi Yehuda? Even if I'm selling them on different days, what's the halacha? There's a disclosure obligation. Why? Why? Because I know they're both using it for the chasana. So if they're both using it for the chasana, then chance of getting a shechter on the same day. So I have to disclose. So I said, this is great Gemara. Lamali v'misni esa'im l'chasan v'esabas l'kala. Why does the Mishnah say that the chasan bought the mother and the kala bought the daughter? Why don't you just say one went to the chasan, one to... Listen to this, Rabbi said, very important halacha. Milsav agav orchei kamashmalan, because the Gemara Mishnah teaches me halacha, the orach ara lemitrach bechasna tvemi bechalsa. Everyone knows the chasan side pays more money for the chasana than the kala's side. I wish someone would have told me this Gemara. Right? I missed this by a month. Okay, no, next time. Says the Gemara, but I reprokim. So Rabbi Say, remember again, at four times throughout the year, Barba Prakim, remember Rabbi Say, another fasting halacha. Four times, these four times where there is clearly a demand for meat, and Rabbi Say, that demand, remember, is halachically anchored, right? Because remember, this is all preempted. Yomtiv, the halacha is as a mitzvah b'samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice on Yomtiv. One of the ways we fulfill that mitzvah Rabbi Say is how? Basar, the other piece is yayin, is wine. So these four times throughout the year, we will force the shochet to shecht, even if he only has minimal orders for the meat. So remember again, there's a benefit and there's a risk for the consumer. The benefit is, even if I place the small order, I'm getting what? I'm getting my meat, right? Because at the end I'm going to force the shochet. The risk for me is, because of that, that meat is already considered to be mine. So if something were to happen prior to the animal, prior to Shechita, the animal were to die, I lost my money. So it says the Gemara. V'hala mashach. But 1 second, how could I lose money? We'll say, meat is metaltolin, right? It's movable property. Movable property, we'll say, remember again, going back to our Baba Kama days. How do you acquire movable property? Meshicha, right? You have to take physical possession. You have to lift it. So how can you say, I bear a loss of the meat? I paid, but I never did Meshicha. If I never did Meshicha, I don't own it. You're right, what's the case? The case where I did Meshicha. Right? I'm buying lamb chops, and I went over to the lamb, and I lifted it up. Right? Whenever I did Meshicha, if that's the case, I must say, if I look at the end of the Mishnah, lefichach im meis, meis lemocher. V'hamashach. What do you do about the Seifa? The Seifa said that in the other times of the year, i.e. any other time other than the four intervals, Rabbi say, what's the halacha? If the animal dies, I didn't lose my money. But if I did Meshicha, then halacha l'maisa, I should lose my money even during the other times of the year. Amar Reb Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, li'olam shalom mashach. You're right. Rabbi say, in reality, the case is where I didn't do Meshicha. Ukigon, this is such an amazing sugya. What's the case? The case is ultimately again where the shochet ultimately again appointed someone to acquire my portion of meat on my behalf. He appointed zochin la adam shelo befanav. He went ahead and he appointed someone to acquire the meat on my behalf. Kigun shezicha lo al yedei acher. So we'll say, so watch this. So look at first wide line of Rashi. Shezicha lo al yedei acher. Hamochra zem maser es hashor li adam acher. Shelo bifnei alokeach. Va'amr lo zechi bishor zeh leploni. Lios lo bedina basar. So let's say we'll call the shochet is Reuven. Reuven gives it over to Shimon. He says, Shimon, acquire a portion of meat of this animal on behalf of silver, and silver will acquire it through you. So watch this, Rabbi Say. Barba prakim elu dischosulo zochin la adam shelo befanav. So I say, during the four intervals, where it's a schos for me to have meat, because having meat will allow me to fulfill mitzvah v'samachta bechagecha, so someone else could acquire it on my behalf, and therefore again, I own it, and therefore that's wonderful, I own it. But if the animal dies, I bear the loss. B'shayim osad shana, we'll say throughout the rest of the year, t'chov hulo. So we'll say throughout the rest of the year, so the purchase of the meat is a liability for me. We'll say, why is it a liability? Because I'm out money. Right? It's a financial loss. Who says I have to eat meat the rest of the year? So again, I'm losing money. That's a chov. That's a liability. And chavon adam shlo b'fanav. And we'll say again, therefore the shochet would have no right to ask someone to acquire something on my behalf, if that act of acquisition was considered to be a liability. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, in the four intervals of the year, so the shochet is appointing someone to acquire it on my behalf. If he does that, then wonderful, but if the animal dies, I bear the loss. During the rest of the year, where there is no zechus for me to have the meat, even if the shochet tried to acquire it or give it over to me through someone else, if the animal dies, I do not bear the loss. Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'sh'arba prakim elu ha'emidu chachamim divreim al din Torah. Now comes along, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan says something different. In these four intervals, the rabbis set aside their law and reestablish biblical law. Rabbi will say, what's biblical law? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan divar Torah ma'os konos. Rabbi will say, remember we did this sugya. Rabbi will say, midaraisa, when you pay money even for movable property, what's the halacha? You acquire it. It becomes yours. So why is it that the rabbi said that by metal and movable property, you have to do Mashicha. Umatam Amru Mashicha Kona. Why did the rabbis legislate that you have to do Mashicha? I will say, just general payment of funds is enough to affect ownership and acquisition. Why put on the additional layer of Mashicha? To which the Gemara says, Gzer Shema Yomer Lo Nisrafu Chitecha Ba'aliya. Because we'll say, remember again, we had this again, there's a general concern. What was the concern? If I go ahead and I buy, let's say, produce from you, I buy wheat from you, and I say, you know, I buy $1,000 of wheat, and I say, you know what? Listen, I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. Right? I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. So I say, so what happens? Now, chas v'shalom, a fire breaks out in your silo. You lose $1,000 of wheat. What are you going to tell me? I'm so sorry. You're not going to believe it. You know what burned down? Your wheat, nebuch, bad mazel, right? Your wheat. So I say, so in order to avoid situations like that, essentially what ends up happening over here is the halacha places the burden of ownership upon the seller until the point that the purchaser does mashicha. So essentially, it's buyer protection. But midoraisa maos kona. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is that during these four intervals, so halacha lemaisa, again, the rabbi set aside their law, reestablished biblical law, that maos konos, that you establish ownership of your money. We'll say, if you think about this, why would the rabbis do that? If you think about this, we'll say what we're doing over here is just a little bit of leveraging risk. Because think about this for a moment. During the four intervals, what are we telling the shochet? What are we telling the shochet? You got a shech, no matter what. Right? No matter what. No matter what. Right? We'll say, which is, even if you have minimal orders for meat, you have to shech. Which I will say, now again, hopefully when the shochet shechts, people will go ahead and buy. But if you're the shochet, remember again, I would venture to say that if you're shechting without pre-placed orders, chances are, what are you going to do with that meat? You're probably going to be selling it at a discount. That's what I would assume, because you've got to move that merchandise because you have to be afraid of spoilage. So there's a little bit of, so we're putting the shochet in a little bit of a precarious, you know, financial state. So it's almost as if we give him a little bit of relief in that he has some level of protection against loss. That should, so let's say people prepay for their portions. If something were to happen to the animal, at least again, the shochet is not at out that amount. Okay, beautiful. We'll say, let's go. Mishnah. Yom echad ha'omer ha'omer ba'osav yesbinot. This is great. It's a great sugyas. So remember again, we haven't spoken about this, although this is the last Mishnah of the Perek, which is the Mishnah says, you are not permitted to shecht a mother and the child on the same day. We've never defined what. What is a day? What is a day? So Yom Echela Omer Ba'osav Yespino Hayom Holich Achra Halayla. So both say, for ultimately for these purposes, it is a night and a day, a halachic day, a night and a day. Now both say, we're going to see that in halacha, you could have three definitions of day. You could have night and daytime, that's one unit, like a halachic day. You could have day and night. Where does that come up? Carbonic day, right? Carbonos, many of them go out to the day and then the following night. And then you could have what's called the Me'is Le'is day, which is 24-hour period that begins from the moment that the event occurs and extends 24 hours out. The Mishnah therefore tells me that for Yosov Yespino, the day is defined as a regular halachic day, which is a nighttime and day, which I will say, so again, I want to point out what that means is, if you shecht your mother, no, that didn't sound right. Right? If you shecht the mother animal, right, at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, so the daytime period for Osov Yespino extends until when? Right? Nightfall that day. Right? So remember again, you could have a situation where the prohibition for Osov Yespino lasts 3 hours. Last 3 hours, halachic day. So the Gemara says, Ezu darsh of Shem and Zoma. So also Shem and Zoma darsh in the following. So he says, Ne'emar b'may sebereshes yom echad. It says by the creation story yom echad. V'ne'emar ba'osov yespino yom echad. And it says ba'osov yespino the same lashon yom echad. Ma yom echad amar may sebereshes hayom holich achar alayla. Just like by creation of Osai, a day is night and then day that follows night. Af yom echad ha'omer ba'osav yespino hayom holach achar laila. So tzurbosav ha'osav yespino. Ultimately, again, the day follows the night. I.e., a halachic day, nightfall and then day. Good. Ten rabbanon. Ezu darshu shem ben zoma. So when zoma darshind lefi shekala inyan kulo inam adaber ela b'kodshim. Now we'll say, now here's why this is strange for us. If you remember again, we mentioned this before. The prohibition of osovies bino, little chazara, follows which halacha? Mechusar zman. That umiyama shmini vahala yeretzak, right, that you could only offer up a karban from 8 days and on. Immediately after that, it says osovies bino. So there's a havamina that the concept of osovies bino is rooted in karbanic law. With karbanos, interestingly enough, literally translated, night follows day. In other words, the way karbanos work is that for the window of consumption, the night always follows the following day. So for example, your window might be you keep the karban for a day and a night. So because for karbanos, the night follows the day, So I would have thought the same thing by Osovi Espino, that ultimately, again, because it's stated in the context of Kodshim, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the halacha should be the same. And maybe I would say that the night follows the day. That's why the Gemara says, Ne'amar kan yom echad, ne'amar maise bereshis yom echad, ma yom echad ha'amr maise bereshis ha'yom holich achar alayla, af yom echad ha'amr ba'osovi Espino, Hayom holich achar halayla. Supposed to say, therefore, again, we make a gzir shav essentially. It says yom echad by osovi espino. It says yom echad by maise bereshis. Just like by maise bereshis, yom echad means what? Night and then day. So too by osovi espino, it means night and then day. Beautiful. Rebbe Omer, yom echad. Rebbe says, when the pasuk says yom echad, yom hamiyuchad ta'un kruz. So Rebbe makes an additional drasha, not a drasha instead, but an additional drasha, which is Yom Echad also teaches us that what? That there are certain unique days. Rashi says over here, Yom HaMiyuchat Tonkruz, a unique day requires an announcement. What's the unique day which requires an announcement? Mikan Amru, the Gemara says, Ba'ar Ba'prakim Ba'shana HaMocher Behema. It will say, what's the special announcement? Special announcement tells us that at certain times throughout the year, i.e. the 4 days mentioned in the previous Mishnah, what's the halacha? You have to announce. You have to tell the purchaser that what? That you had previously sold the mother or the daughter. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Omer Yom Echad Yom Miyuchad Taon Kruz Yomim Miyuchadim Yesh B'Shana. There are certain days throughout the year. Tahinu Arba Prakim Shata Musra LaHachriz Ima Macharti L'Shchot. So again, Rebbe adds on an additional drasha, and Rebbe says, Yom Echad doesn't only teach me that ultimately, again, the day for Osovi Espino resembles the day of Maaseh Bereishis, where the night precedes the day, it's one unit of a day, but it also teaches me Yom Echad, Yom Echadim, that there are certain unique days throughout the year where you must tell the purchaser that what? That halacha lemaisa, you've gone ahead and sold the mother or sold the daughter. Hadrin aloch osav yespin. I will say, mazel tov. Kisei adam. Let's begin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. Shavuot, let's go. Kisei adam. New topic. I will say, by the way, as you've seen, which I'm hoping that you appreciate a lot in the Seches Chulin, if you notice, the prakim here are exceptionally subject segmented, right? Have you noticed that? That mamish, like each perek, almost, it remains focused totally on the subject at hand, right? You've seen that. It's very different than a lot of the Masechtos we see, where again, you might have a title of a parak, but Lamaisa, again, it jumps around. So if you notice again, the title of the last parak was Osovi Espino, and the topic of the last parak was, we just learned it, Osovi Espino. So literally from beginning to end, it's nice. It's very, it's nice. Okay, fine. Kisei Adam. So also, here we go. Next parak, covering the blood. Kisei Adam. So we'll say we're going to discuss this interesting halacha. Noeg baretz or bechutzlar. So we'll say the mitzvah of covering the blood after shechita applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutzlaretz. Bifnei habayis, v'shelo bifnei habayis. We'll say it applies in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash and not in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Bechulin, aval lo b'mukdashin. Oh, so we'll say here we go. Number one. Kisadam only applies to unconsecrated animals and does not apply to karbanos. Very important. V'noig b'chaya u'ba'of u'b'mezumen v'she'en u'b'mezumen. And I will say, interestingly enough, it only applies to a chaya. Remember again, a chaya is a non-domesticated animal. Oaf, fowl. Bozai, kisei adam does not apply to behema. So for example, you shech the cow, there is no obligation to cover the blood. This is dafka adin in chayas and ofos. Right? Again, we'll discuss why that is. Bimizumin, Vishen Mizun. I both say, this is actually very interesting. Now, what this means, we had this actually, if you remember again, because this comes up, where does this come? Mizumin shlo. Mizumin means something that is prepared, i.e. owned by you, versus Eino Mizumin, which is Hefker. This comes up by Shiloah HaKan, sending away the mother bird. Sending away the mother bird is only, if you own birds, there is no mitzvah of Shiloah HaKan. It's Ki Kare Kansip, or only things that you stumble upon. So the halacha of kisadam bosai applies whether you're shechting your own animal, or for that matter, again, you find an animal from hefker, right? Ultimately, again, you still have to do kisadam. The noeg b'koi, and I will say, what's the halacha? It goes in and applies to a koi, mipnei shu safek. Even though this, so remember again, what's our koi? So remember, we had a three machlokas what a koi is. Either it's a combination between a deer and a goat. It's a beria bifnei atzma, it's a behema, okay. Either way, you do kisei adam by a kai because it's a suffing. Vein shochtin osa b'yamtiv, so as we actually made reference to this, you are not permitted to go ahead and shecht a kai on yamtiv. Now the reason you're allowed to shecht a kai on yamtiv has nothing to do with shchita and everything to do with what? With kisei adam. I will say, now we're going to get into this, there are potential halachic issues with kisei hadam and yomtiv. It all has to do with issues of potential digging, right? Chafira, which could be a malacha d'oraisa, could deal with muktza, which is an issa d'rabbana. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. Vimshachto, and if you did shecht a kai on yomtiv, and you do not have dirt readily available, ein mechasin es damo. So the halacha is, I will say, we will not go ahead and cover its blood on yomtiv. Says the Gemara. We'll say, here we go. Mukdoshin mai taimalo. They will say, why is it that halacha l'maisa, we do not go ahead and do kisei hadam by hekdesh animals? Right? Why don't we do kisei hadam by karbanos? So, ilim b'shun Rabbi Zeira, if you want to say this, because Rabbi Zeira, what does Rabbi Zeira say? The Amr Rabbi Zeira, hashochet tzarech sheyitin afer lamata v'afer lamala. Oh, we'll say, watch this. Rabbi Zeira is of the opinion, Rabbi Zeira, that the mitzvah of kisei hadam, see, when we think about kisei hadam, what do we think about? We think about putting dirt on top of the blood. Rabbi Zeira says that, in fact, the halacha of kisei hadam is what? It's blood, it's blood under and blood above. In other words, you put down a layer of dirt. You put down dirt on the ground first, you allow the blood of the shechita to spurt on top of that, and then you cover the blood again. That Mishnah Emar b'shafach es damo v'kiso ba'afar. As well as the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and pour the blood v'kiso ba'afar. So also you will cover it in dirt. Rabbi Zeira darshins afar lo nemar. Could have just said v'kiso afar. The dirt will cover it. Doesn't say afar. Rather ela ba'afar, in dirt. Rabbi Zeira says in dirt. Rabbi Zeira teaches us means what? Malami. Therefore, I will say, what does that teach me? That teaches me that essentially the blood is sandwiched in dirt. There's dirt below, blood, and then dirt on top. So I will say, now I understand why you're telling me that I can't do this with carbon. Why? V'halcha lo afshar. See, I will say, this type of process would be impossible by carbonos. Why would it be carbonically impossible? Watch this. Heichil la'avid. Because what should I do? So the Gemara says, Heichil la'avid. Leisiv v'li batlei. Say, if you want to tell me that's what, that I should put the dirt, for example, on the Mizbeach. Want to tell me that I should put the dirt on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, so kamos, and then I'll be mavatel the dirt there. I'll be mavatel it there. Right? So the Gemara says, kamos if abinyon. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, if you're mevatel dirt on the Mizbeach, meaning mevatel means I'm leaving it there, then I'll say that is essentially what? That is tantamount to adding on to the structure of the Mizbeach. Well, if you add on to the structure of the Mizbech, Uksiv, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Alay Eskil. So ultimately, again, the Pasuk says, Rabosai, in Divrei Yamim, that when Shlomo HaMelech received the instructions to build the Beis HaMikdash, it was all done b'nevua, which means what? You cannot tamper with the floor plan. You can't add on anything. So to put dirt on the Mizbeach and then be mevatel it there in place is effectively adding on to the structure. You're not allowed to add on to the structure. Lowly batli, so okay, fine. To put the dirt, I will say, on the ground or on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, and not to be mevatel it, that's not going to work either. Why? Havi chatzitza. Ultimately, again, I will say, that will be a chatzitza. Chatzitza, remember, again, is anything which interferes between the blood and the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to have anything that interferes between the blood and the Mizbeach. So which the Gemara says, Nihi de lemata lo afshar, lemala afshar. Ultimately, again, says the Gemara, fine. So you've told me now, there's no way to have dirt underneath the blood, but that doesn't preclude you from putting dirt on top of the blood. After all, did we not learn? The Gemara says, Milo Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef said as follows, Shachat Chaya, V'achsovo said, what we're going to show now is that what? Is that Halacha L'maisa, although in an ideal sense, for Kisei Hadam, you want dirt underneath the blood and dirt on top of the blood. Halacha L'maisa, if you did not put dirt underneath the blood, you can still fulfill the mitzvah of Kisei Hadam through what? Dirt on top. So I will say, now we've established, remember again, we're trying to figure out something very specific. We're trying to figure out why there is no mitzvah of Kisei Hadam by a sacrificial animal. So we've established already that it appears that there's no way for you to put blood, to put dirt underneath the blood, because either again you're going to be adding on to the Mizbeach, or it's an issue of Chatzitza. So we'll say, now we're at the point, fine, that I got. But I could still put dirt, ultimately where? On top of the blood. After all, did we not learn? So the Gemara Milo Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Shachat Chaya, V'achakach Shachat Beim. Now listen to this interesting case. If you Shecht Chaya, right, and then immediately afterwards you shech the behemoth. So we'll say, what's talacha? Pater milachasos. You're pater from covering the blood of the chayah. We'll say, why? Why? Because the blood of the chayah is effectively already covered. What is it covered by? The blood of the behemoth, which was shechted on top of it. Rashi says, pater milachasos, sharedam behemoth lamalo, because the blood of the behemoth is already on top. Umayichasa, what are you covering? However, on the other hand, if you shechted a behema, and then afterwards you shechted a chaya on top of that, what's talacha? Chayiv lechasos. Ultimately, again, you're chayiv to go ahead and cover it. So we'll say, what do you see from there? What do you see from there? And we'll say, now when you cover that blood of the chaya, you're only covering what? On top and not on the bottom. Because what's on the bottom of the blood of the chaya? The blood of the behema. So what do you see from here? You see from here that in circumstances where you could not or did not place dirt beneath the blood, you can still fulfill the mitzvah of Kisei Hadam by placing dirt on top of the blood. So therefore, again, when it comes to sacrificial blood, I understand that halacha l'maisa, I can place dirt underneath the blood, but that should not preclude me from ultimately covering the blood in some small way by putting it on top, to which the Gemara says no. Kid Rabbi Zera. But in reality, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Zera. What does Rabbi Zera say? Rabbi Zera holds, Kala ra'i lebila, ein bila ma'akev esbo. V'chol she'ino ra'i lebila, bila ma'akev esbo. Rabbi Zera, we've had this metaphor many times. Because Rabbi Zera says, Rabbi Zera, that anything that is fit to be mixed, you don't need to mix. But if it cannot be mixed, the inability to mix it ultimately again compromises. So let's remember again, this comes up in Minachos. Rashi points out that the halacha is the maximum size of a mincha is 60 esronim. 60 esronim. 61 esronim, Rabbi Osai, you cannot put in one kli. Why not? Because 61 esronim cannot be properly mixed. I, says the Gemara, but the halacha is even if you don't mix the mincha is still kosher. If that's the case, then even 61 esronim should be okay. To which the Gemara says, you're right. You don't have to mix the mincha, but what? You have to have the ability to mix the mincha. As long as you have the ability to mix the mincha, even if you don't do it, the lack of mixing doesn't compromise it. But if mixing is an impossibility, then that inability to mix it ultimately does compromise it and will invalidate the mincha. So we'll say that becomes the expression for anything in halacha. Sometimes in halacha, we'll say, you just have to have the ability to do something, even if you don't do it. But the lack of ability ultimately compromises the integrity of the particular act. Therefore, the Gemara says over here, you are right. Halacha lemaisa, it is true that you do, although ideally the way to do kisi adam is, you put dirt underneath the blood, dirt on top of the blood. If you didn't put dirt underneath it, but you only put dirt on top, what's the halacha? The kisi is still good, as long as what? The ability to do so exists. It appears that the reason why there's no mitzvah kisi adam by sacrificial blood is why, Rabbi Osai? There is no possibility. It is impossible to place dirt underneath the blood. Because it is impossible, either because of chatzitza, or because you're adding on to the structure, because it is impossible, the impossibility of that act ultimately, again, essentially takes that blood out of the parsha of kisi adam, and that's what the Mishnah says, it only applies to chulin and not to mukdashim. Right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up on the Pei Gimel Meir Tashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.